Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Can all y'all hear me okay? Wait. Can all y'all hear me okay? Now I can hear y'all okay. All right, now we're ready to go. So we are so thrilled, so excited, just so pleased to see all of y'all come back. I know after that first week, you know, you're kind of stepping off in the step of faith and saying, hey, I'm in it to win it. I'm in this class. And you really absorbed some of that training. I'm telling y'all, we really felt something is going to be very special with this class here that's going through this semester. I mean, we feel like there's something different, something unique. And just to know that everybody, all the table hosts agree, just to know that we're a part of it is really, really awesome. We cannot thank you enough for your sacrifice of your time to come up here and invest it in the kingdom of God and for your spiritual walk. It's just such an honor to be here with y'all today and this evening. I will admit, though, I don't know if y'all are necessarily going to sacrifice your time as much as some of our fall semester people. Now, you might be wondering, like, oh, what's he talking about? Now, during the fall semester, you should see, ladies, you should see some of the guys, okay? Because what season is it during the fall? Football season. You should see some of these guys back here. They're just like itching. They're just itching for their phone, and they're just looking at the time. They're not looking at the scores, okay? Because usually Cowboys are getting whooped by then, right? Pretty bad. But they're looking at that time like, oh, I want to check the updates so bad, but they're trying to be good. And then as soon as that break, boom, man, they're just up there looking at it. So it was a real hard sacrifice for them. So y'all don't have the excuse for that distraction. So isn't that awesome to know you got one less thing to worry about, right? Right, gentlemen? Yeah, cool. Okay, cool. So just letting you know, everybody's got to pay attention for the rest of the semester. So one thing that we do want to do for each of the weeks that come up, one cool thing is the retreat, all right? We're going to talk about it a whole bunch because it is such a life-changing experience. Every single table, yes, thank you. All the table hosts that are here tonight have been through the retreat, and every single one of them can tell you that once they went, their lives were never the same again. And to share that on a more personal level, something that we do is we ask that people that have been on that retreat to come up and share their experience, even though they've gone through the whole class, what was so unique and special to them about the retreat. So the first person I want to ask to come up here is Miss Amanda Sharvo. Come on up here, Amanda. Give her a big hand.
Hi. Wow, there's a lot of you guys in here. That's amazing. I went through the retreat three years ago. It all started with the very first week, to be honest, with the first week of Encounter with our homework, when it talks about what are your goals. And my goal was for my joy to be restored. I was going to tell y'all that I'm a crier, but I don't think I have to. It's pretty obvious. But so God worked all throughout the weeks of Encounter, worked on me, and my joy was restored in the retreat, and I've been able to keep it, not just get it, you know what I mean? The other big thing that I got from the retreat was that who we belong to, that we are a child of God, that like above, it doesn't, nothing else really matters if you know who you belong to, because he's got more for us than we even know we can get or that we want for ourselves. He just wants more and better for us. But the biggest thing that I got from going through retreat and the class is, and continuing to press in too, you know, you got to keep doing the work, I learned how to hear from God. Like, actually, when people say, I heard from God or God spoke to me, some people don't even know what that means. But through this class and through the retreat, he wants to talk to us. He is talking to us. We just don't sometimes know what that means. And like I said, I went to the retreat like 3 years ago, but more recently, I had a very difficult pregnancy. And during my pregnancy, God told me that my son would be born, that he would be born early. And so I was like, okay, God, you know, I thank you, you know, for letting me know that. And he told me to pray for Reed's development. So I did, and about 30 weeks into my pregnancy, they realized that something was wrong with his heart, and they airlifted me to Houston, and I remember that promise that God told me that he was going to be born. And that's the only thing that got me through that, because I thought he was going to, it was too heavy for me to navigate that. And so those are the kinds of things that God does for us whenever he knows what we need. He knows what we're going to need. And he will give it to you if you ask him. So I just really encourage you guys to be honest about what you need. Like I said, it all started with the very first week, the homework. What are your goals, and what's going to keep you from achieving those? Be honest about it with him, even if it's just him for a little while. But I would encourage everyone to just press in, let him take over, and that's it.
Thank you. Yeah, give her a big hand. Thank you, Amanda. I really appreciate that. We also have one other real quick that we want to bring up as well. We got somebody this guy's awesome. Every time I see him, super smiling, handshaking. What a dude. Luke Bishop, get up here, man. Give him a big hand.
Well, y'all, first I just want to thank Justin and Whitney and the whole Encounter team for having me up here. It is a great opportunity. It actually is an honor to be here in front of all of you. And looking back, it was a great privilege to have sat where all of you sit tonight. What a great privilege it was to have the opportunity to go through Encounter. You know, when I first heard of Encounter, I heard about the retreat, but I really didn't know, you know, what it was or what I was going to get out of it. And so I just want to take this opportunity to share with all of you, you know, what God did in me, the work he did in me, and how he used Encounter to do it. First was that he showed me, like, how to live a spirit-led life, you know, walking in proper spiritual alignment. I also gained the ability to truly forgive someone, and that was, that was actually one of my harder obstacles in this, was to really forgive those that hurt me, whether they knew it or not. The third thing was that God used the Encounter retreat to break apart strongholds that were keeping me from who he called me to be. And then Justin got a hold of me over the summer and gave me the opportunity to come back and serve as a table host. And you know, God still was moving in me, even as a table host. And I know you table host, you know, he's got a lot more to offer going back through it again. But what he did for me, he created a bond between me and my guys at the table. You know, I now consider them my closest friends. Three of them are back there, and we're actually living together, interning here. And they're my brothers, and I couldn't do this life without them. He also used you know, serving as a table host to develop leadership qualities in me. But ultimately, at the Encounter retreat, I found my calling to pursue ministry full time, and that was there at the retreat. It was a very special moment. Real quick, I just want to read some scripture that we're actually studying in our leadership development class. It's out of the book of Psalms 78, verse 70 through 72. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and skillful hands he led them. See, it's more than just receiving a calling. He took me out from my sheep pen. He took me out from being 23 years old with no goals, no vision, living in failure. And the failure turned into a drinking problem. And I ended up actually using drugs during that time of failure. But he took me out from all of that. and brought me out from that life of failure through this encounter retreat so that I could shepherd his people, so that I could help lead them out of that same mess that he brought me out of. So, you know, Timber Creek's mission is to help you find your God-given potential. You know, some of you are here to know God or to find freedom or discover purpose. And if you go through this process, this is very important. This is the only reason why I got to hear from the Lord and why I received my calling. But if you go through this process with palms up, being vulnerable and willing to receive, I believe all of you here can achieve those things. But it doesn't stop, you know, at the retreat or even after. Through encounter, God is going to equip you to make a difference. And I just strongly believe in it, and I'm a huge believer in encounter in the process. So open your hearts, be willing to be shaped, but also be vulnerable and be receptive. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke. I really appreciate you sharing that. And that's one thing I want to reiterate through this, guys. Again, this is week two. We got 8 weeks to go through, 7 weeks until the retreat, right? And, you know, some of you, this is very fresh, but some of you are seasoned within your spiritual walk, right? And you're thinking, man, this is kind of weird sometimes. I'm doing stuff that it's just not really my comfort zone. Hey, just come in. Again, the cloud of witnesses that are in this room that can attest to what this class does and what God can do through this class, I should say, we can all say that you got to be open. You got to just come palms up and say, God, I'm willing to take that step of faith and do what I'm asked to do to follow through with this process, right? So just keep at it, keep plugging away, and just go with it. Just go with it. Just trust us. We got you back. No worries. Anyway, so I have the very, very great privilege now to introduce somebody that without her influence and involvement in this class and so many lives here, this class probably wouldn't be here right now. And many of you already know her, and if you don't know her, you need to, because she is someone that touches every life that she comes into contact with for the better. God's anointing and hand is on her, and she's just such a godly woman, and she will be teaching to you guys and gals this evening. Miss Sonia Bonner, please come up. Give her a hand.
My NAC ladies are representing. They said they were going to embarrass me. Mission accomplished. So welcome tonight. I should have stood outside before the testimonies, because it's not good to come up here with tears in your eyes and snot running down your face. So thank you guys very much. Good job, Amanda and Luke. So tonight I have the privilege to teach on alignment, what that looks like biblically, and definitions, give some testimony and things like that. But before I start, can we just go ahead and get in the presence of God in prayer? Can we go before God and pray? Heavenly Father, we just come before you. God, thank you so much for showing up. God, you're already here. We don't have to invite you. You're inviting us into your presence. God, I thank you so much for those that have come. God, even though they've had a crazy week, they've had a crazy day, but God, they still came to encounter you tonight. And God, I thank you that we will encounter you tonight. God, open our ears to hear your voice. God, open blind eyes that have not been seeing correctly. Father, have your way tonight. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So my husband and I are in the middle of flipping a house. Do I have any other house flippers? Has anybody ever flipped a house? Raise your hand. Oh, yes. You know my pain. You feel my torture right now. Anybody watched HGTV? Do you know what I'm talking about? Fixer Up or anything like that? Yeah, that's like crack. It's super addictive. I love it. So we are in the middle of flipping a cute little house in Hudson right now. We've done the demo. We've gutted the kitchens, we've gutted the bathrooms, we've busted up tile, and I scraped popcorn Seelenzahl for the first time. If that is anything close to hell, I'm glad I know Jesus, because it's horrible. And so we've literally gutted this house, but we're down to putting it back together, thank God. And so we've got some new sheetrock up. We've got new texture. It's looking good. We started painting this weekend, which that is horrible too. Not my most fun thing to do in life, but it's looking good. So we're going to put some beautiful big hexagon tile in the bathroom. I'm super pumped about that. It's going to be awesome. I'm thinking about butcher block countertops. It's going to look good, but it's going to have everything new. New fixtures, plumbing, light. We're going to do cedar posts out front. It's going to be cute. If y'all are interested, y'all holler at your girl. But anyways, so when we bought the house, it had foundation problems. So it had a cracked slab. Now, would it make sense for me to put the house back together before I fix the foundation problems? Why not? Because it would create problems, right? If I didn't fix the foundation from the very beginning, when I put that beautiful sheetrock on there, what's going to happen? It's going to crack. And guess what? The doors are not going to open and close properly. Why? Because there is a proper order in the way you need to do things. Amen? I'm already preaching right now. Come on. So spiritually, what we're going to talk about tonight is we're going to talk about spiritual alignment. Who knows that God created us to live in proper alignment? And just like that house that we're working on, if I didn't fix the foundation first and did things out of order, it's not going to function properly. There's going to be collateral damage. There's going to be cracks and things like that. So tonight, like I said, we're talking about spiritual alignment. There's a proper order to do things in our life per God's word. And for my life, I know it to be true. I've done it both ways. I've done it out of alignment and I've done it in alignment. And can I tell you, in alignment is a much better way to do it. But what I want to say is I'm talking about doing things in proper order. This is not about a bunch of rules spiritually. God's not calling us to live like robots with a bunch of rules. But what he's saying is, Sonia, if you will live in proper spiritual order, things will function the way I've designed it to function. Without you lining up proper spiritually, there's going to be some issues that come along. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, God teaches us through Paul. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose." Whose purpose? His purpose, God's purpose. "And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're going to talk about the three parts of me. And some of you are like, I got a whole lot more parts. Well, we're not going to talk about the other parts. We're just going to talk about the three parts that Paul's talking about in 1 Thessalonians. So it's in your notes. Number one, there's a spirit part of us, which is the eternal part of us. And then number two, we have a soul. Who knows what the soul is? If you don't know it, it's in your notes. Mind, will, and emotion. So the soul is how I think and how I feel. And then third, we have the body. That is our physical part. That's our carnal. That's our flesh. That is when Sonia wants to do what Sonia wants to do and not line up with God. That is our sin nature. And so God says that I've created these three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And so which one do we think should lead us? Spirit. See, these three have to consistently be in a line to function properly. So number one, we want to let the spirit lead us, which again, like I said, that's our eternal part. The spirit is in submission to the Holy Spirit. We're letting the Holy Spirit lead us in everything that we do. And then second is going to be soul, which again is in submission to the Holy Spirit, but it's following our spirit man. And then lastly is going to be our body. That's our sinful nature. And our body must live in consistent submission to the Holy Spirit to function properly. See, God's word teaches us that we're made to live and stay in this order to truly reach the blessings that Jesus has for us. And this is called proper biblical alignment, which is what I was talking about. So what is alignment? Do I have any military members in here? Anybody in the military, former military? Okay, awesome. Anybody in the Marine Corps? I mean, just got to represent. Oh, raw. I knew my devil dog was back there. That's right. So align, if you're in the military, you should know what align means. Align means to arrange things so that they form a line or are in proper position or to change something so that it agrees. See, when we were in the military and we went into formation, which all the people stood up in line, they would say cover and align. And so what that meant is I had to get in front of the person in front of me, but then also align was to the person in the right. So it's adjusting to get in proper alignment. And then in your notes, the second one is alignment. It's the proper positioning or the state of adjustment of parts as like a mechanical or electronic device. It's in relation to each other. It's parallel to something. Now, when we talk about alignment, what's the first thing you think of? Your car. I'm going to help you ladies out real fast. Do I have any mechanics in the house? Tell me what happens when a car is not in alignment. It gets jacked up, okay? In Sonya terms, it gets messed up. When your car is not in alignment, it doesn't drive right. It wobbles, and then it pulls. It's not functioning properly. So what happens when we get it aligned? It starts functioning the way it was designed. Ladies, get your car aligned. Take it to the tire shop. Take it to the dealership. Get it aligned. It will function much better for you. And then lastly, spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment is the process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ, learning to walk and live like Jesus. When I was spending time in prayer, and I was asking the Lord to show me anything that he wants me to point out during this teaching, because I've taught it, I think, 4 or 5 times now. And he hovered on process. He shined a light on the word process. Spiritual alignment is the process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. Process, listen, lean into this. Process means a series of actions, steps taken in order to receive a particular outcome. Process means it's not passive. Process means I've got to do something. See, there's times in my life where I wanted to lose weight. But in order to lose weight, I have to do a couple of things. I have to go to the gym. And I have to push away from the table. How many of y'all know big girls like to eat? This big girl liked to eat, okay? I wanted to lose weight. I wanted the end result, but I didn't want to go through the process to get the weight loss. Are you hearing me? There's things that some of you guys are wanting. Some of you ladies are wanting. You're wanting breakthrough. You're wanting freedom. You're wanting anxiety to go. You're wanting healing in your heart from where you've been hurt. But are you going through the process to get the end result? See, God's word says, I will heal you. But oftentimes there is a command for you to do your part. Sometimes God supernaturally heals and he heals instantly. But sometimes there is a command for you to do your part. God always does his part. God never leaves us. He never leaves us hanging. But he says, sometimes, Sonya, you've got to do your part. You've got to go to the gym, sister. You got to push the donuts away. I'm going to give you some scriptures, not about donuts, but I'm going to give you some scriptures because this is where God was really illuminating for some of you tonight. Because some of you came tonight, you're desperate. You are desperate for a move of God. You have been so hurt. You have been so broken, and you are so desperate. You are hanging on by a thread, and can I tell you, God said, I've got you tonight. If you will press in and listen, I've got you. Let me show you in God's word where he says, sometimes I'm going to give you a command, and if you want it, you got to do it. If you go to John, or you don't have to go there, you can look it up later. Write it down, John chapter 9, verse 11. There's a blind man, and Jesus put mud on his eyes, and then what did he say? He said, go wash. He said, go wash. And what happened? He received sight to his eyes right then. What would have happened if he did not go wash? I don't know. But I know he moved when Jesus told him to move, and he received blight, his sight back. Naaman, in 2 Kings, Naaman had leprosy, and he wanted to be healed. And he was told, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And what did he do? He griped about it at first. He was ticked off. He said, that is so simple. Some of you guys, people have been telling you to read your word, go to church, get in a group, get in community, wrap around the other people that love God. And you say, it's so easy. That sounds so easy. That can't work. Naaman said the same thing. He was looking for something so super spiritual, but he was told, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. When he finally went and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and he moved, what happened? He was healed. Instantly, he was healed. Jesus told Lazarus, come. Lazarus was dead. If you're thinking God can't fix your situation, he fixed a dead man and brought him back to life. Amen. Lazarus came, and guess what? He had life back in his body. God said, tonight, some of you guys are going to receive what you've been needing desperately, but God said, it is going to be up to you if you receive it. You've got to do your part. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior. That means if you're saved, so he's talking to me. Say he's talking to me. It says whoever says that he lives in Christ, so that's, he's talking to us, ought as moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. Talking about Jesus. Jesus was in spiritual alignment. If Jesus walked in spiritual alignment, he is the perfect example for us to do the same. Amen. So I love teaching and explaining the word, but I love giving practical examples, which I'm going to do right now. So I want to show you what it looks like to live in proper biblical alignment. I'll talk about it a lot, but I can understand things better when I see it. Do I have any visual learners in here? Oh, good. All right. So y'all will appreciate this too. I'm going to slide this over. I want you guys to see in the back. And I did write some of this ahead of time. And when I start writing it, just a second, you'll be like, praise God, she wrote that ahead of time, because her handwriting is horrible. So this is what it looks like to live in proper biblical alignment. So what do we need to let lead us? The Spirit needs to lead us. We need to let our spirit be in submission with the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit lead us. This is our eternal part. How I let my spirit lead me is I surrender to God daily. I spend time in the Word. Pastor Stephen's going to talk a little bit about that, and then next week you're going to learn a whole lot about what it means to walk in the Spirit and how to live like this. But we want to let our spirit lead. And then secondly, our soul follows our spirit, which our soul is how we think and how we feel. And so what this looks like is my mind tells me a lot of things that are not true sometimes. My mind, my soul, where I'm staying right here, sometimes tells me, Sonia, you're not smart enough to do that, whatever it is. Sometimes my mind, my soul, will tell me you're not equipped to do da 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 da. And so when I'm in proper alignment, this is what I do. I ask myself, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? Does God's word say I'm not smart enough to do that? Does God's word say I'm not equipped to do that? Or does God's word say I have equipped you for everything that I'm calling you to do? Amen. So I get my soul to line up with the spirit. Amen. And then thirdly, our body, our flesh follows. See, our flesh will get us in trouble. My flesh sometimes wants to throat punch someone, and it's never a good idea to throat punch someone, and so I make sure that my flesh is in submission to my spirit, which is connected to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to show you guys, this looks super good, and this looks super spiritual, and everybody's like, yeah, girl, we are so going to live like that. Amen. But can I tell you, it doesn't always work out like that. You know, life happens, and things don't always work out in this proper biblical alignment. But can we? Yeah, we really can. I'm going to show you what it looks like being out of alignment, though. So, a life out of biblical alignment, and again, I apologize because my handwriting is horrible. So, a life out of alignment could look something like this. So, Eric and Andrea have been married for a long time, and I'm picking on them just because they're the nicest people. And so they've been married a long time, have a great marriage, no problems, nothing going on. And they're just in a lull in their marriage. Everybody's busy and life is just life. You know, everybody's got schedules and running and things like that. And so Eric goes to get his hair trimmed. He's been going to the same lady for several years, super nice lady, does a fine cut. It's cheap, so he keeps going. So he goes in there and she starts complimenting him. She's like, Eric, have you been losing weight? And he's like, well, yes, I have. Thanks for noticing. And he sucks it in a little more as walking around, and she just continues to compliment him. Well, what have you been doing? You look so good. Well, I've been training for a marathon. I think that's what he said. Anyways, I've been working out. I've been hitting the gym. I've been training, whatever. And so she continues to compliment him, and while she's cutting his hair, he continues to kind of think about the compliments, and he likes them a whole lot. And so he leaves there, no harm done, right? Just some compliments. He's been going there. It's harmless, right? Is it? Is it? It can be. However, he continues to think about all of the compliments. I told you my handwriting's horrible. So he continues to think about all the compliments and how good it made him feel. And he continues to mull it over. A couple of days go by and he's still thinking about it. You know, I can't remember the last time Andrea complimented me like that. I mean, Susie just went on and on about how good I'm looking. I mean, I do look kind of good, you know. I've been working really hard. And so guess what? He's letting his soul lead the way because he's continuing to think it's how I think and how I feel. And so he's continued to meditate on those compliments, and he's liking them a whole lot. And so when he meditates on them with the soul leading the way, then what happens is he starts texting her. And he says, hey, I just want to thank you for complimenting me. I really, really appreciate it. I have been working out. And she's like, well, you look really good. I mean, you've always looked good. I've always thought you were super handsome. You see where I'm going with this? Because he stayed here too long instead of sending it back and making the spirit line up. So what seemed harmless, it's a haircut, for goodness sake. I got to get my haircut. He could have justified continuing to go there, but yet then he started texting, and then the body took over our sinful nature, and then this turned into an affair, either an emotional affair or a physical affair. That's how it happens. And then the spirit is down here going, hello, hello, I'm right here. Come on, get back in. This is how a life out of alignment can look like. And so all my single people, y'all are like, yeah, y'all better watch your marriages. You better protect your marriages because people are crazy and they're out to get your man or they're out to get your woman, so you need to be careful. And so all the single people, raise your hand real fast. Raise it high. Let me see who you are. Some of y'all ain't raising your hands. I know. Y'all look around real fast. These are single. No, I'm just kidding. This isn't a dating site. Okay. So all the single people are thinking, yeah, y'all need to be careful of that. And so this is what it looks like potentially for a single person. So a single person is in line at Walmart. They're getting groceries or whatever. And, of course, the bridal magazine is right there. And they look at it going, whatever. And then they look at it again. And then they just pick it up and they start flipping through it. And then they go home and they're thinking, am I ever going to get married? If I see one more person on Facebook post that they got engaged, I'm going to shoot them. Oh my gosh. And so here they are, the single person. It's right here. They're in the soul. They're thinking it over and they play it over and they keep playing it over. I mean, you know, that guy wasn't so bad. I mean, he hadn't been in jail too long. I mean, it was just a minor offense. Or, you know, I mean, the fact that he only has one eye right there, is that really a big deal? You know? And so they play over and over in their mind. And some of you guys, no, I'm serious. Y'all are serious. And the guys are the same way. She wasn't that bad. I mean, I know she posted all these pictures half butt naked or whatever. But, I mean, is that really? I'll get her to come to church. I will get her to come to church. Is it that bad? And so they're hanging out right here too long. And then guess what happens? They start compromising and they start dating people that they have no business dating. It turns into the body following the soul. And they end up in relationships that cause hurt and it causes damage. And again, the spirit is like, where are guys? Let me lead the way. Amen. This is a life out of alignment. This soul, it could be anxiety. I am so in my mind. I am so stressed out. I am so worried about things. It's controlling everything. And then it turns into a physical thing. It will physically make you sick, or you will turn to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to whatever, to cover up this right here, and it's right here. If we live in proper biblical alignment, it's designed to function a whole lot better. Are you tracking? So let's talk about why alignment is important. Number one, in your notes, alignment will motivate us to develop a disciplined life. It'll motivate us to develop a disciplined life. What once was a have to becomes a want to. A disciplined life will always benefit you. It will benefit you spiritually. It will benefit you in your career, in your family. A disciplined life is a good, wise thing to do. In your notes, self-discipline does not set us free. Only Jesus can do that. However, to be an effective Christ follower, we must learn to do our part and live a disciplined life. I want to be a great Christ follower, but I want to be an effective Christ follower. I want to be the Christ follower that Jesus died for me to become so I can make a bigger impact in the kingdom. Amen. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross when? When? This is what we have to do daily. Guys, this is a daily thing. This is just not on Sunday. I know Sunday is a super spiritual day, but we've got to do this every single day. In your notes, it says, God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God didn't give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of sound mind and personal discipline. It's the ability that results in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So God gives us the ability to operate in self-discipline. How many times do you hear somebody say, I could never run a marathon? Andrea has run a marathon. When did you run that? In December. Oh, my God. Praise God. That's crazy. So, yeah, we were talking about that last week, and she said she ran a marathon. I'm like, oh, my God, I could never do that. Well, the truth is I don't want to. But God says, I gave you the ability, Sonia, to do that. You could exercise self-discipline if you choose to. So, listen, remove that from your vocabulary. I can't do that. We can do whatever we choose to do. God gave us the ability to exercise self-discipline. It's up to us to exercise it. If I give you the keys to my truck, and I tell you it's yours whenever you want it, and you choose to not drive it, that's on you. I gave you the keys. God gave us the keys to exercise self-discipline. Number two, alignment will provide a vital source of communication. When we're aligned with God, we can hear him more clearly. See, I have to stay connected. I have to consistently stay connected to God so I can hear the promptings. I don't hear an audible voice from God. Some people do. I do not. I've never heard an audible voice. I hear it so strong in my spirit, though. I hear it in my gut because I spend time with him. We have to stay close to him so we can hear his voice. Number three, alignment will provide a strong line of defense. Alignment with God is a strategic fighting position, but you're not doing the fighting. God, is that my, am I kicked out? Am I done? Is that like the show that they pull you off the stage or something? I know, I'm close. I see you back there. Alignment with God is a strategic fighting position, but you're not doing the fighting. God is fighting on your behalf. Guys, it's not your battle. It's not your battle. Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and the army was behind them, and they basically hit a wall. They were at the sea, and they had nowhere to go. In Exodus 14:14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you when you only need to keep silent and just remain calm." Moses was aligned with God. He had been out of alignment, but he had gotten aligned with God. And God said, "I will go before you, Moses. This is my battle. It's not your battle." But if you continue on in verse 15, God tells Moses, "You have to do your part." We talked about it earlier. Matter of fact, he said, "Why are you crying to me, Moses? Go." And he opened the sea and parted it, and they went. God is fighting your battle, but you've got to be in alignment. Number four, alignment with God will bring freedom from habitual lifestyle of sin. What does habitual mean? It's a habit. It's ongoing. It's a regular practice. It didn't say alignment with God will bring freedom from sin. Different. Habitual sin. If you have a habitual sin that is constantly weighing you down, you're constantly battling with it, when you get in alignment, God will bring you freedom from that. Consistent alignment. What I feed grows. What I starve dies. When I am feeding my spirit, when I am staying in alignment, my spirit grows stronger. My walk grows stronger. I hear from God clearer. We've got to do that. When I have pulled away from God, when I have let busyness take over my life, I don't hear from Him as clearly. It's like a gardener. When you water the plants, when you're putting the fertilizer on, I don't know, I kill everything. My husband's really good at keeping things alive, but when you're watering the plants, when you're putting the plants in sunlight that needs sunlight and you're fertilizing, it's going to grow. It's going to get healthy. But when you don't water that plant and you're not taking care of it, it's going to die. Our spiritual walk is the same premise. In your notes, it says, when I consistently align with the Word of God, I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me. In Galatians 5:16-18, it says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of your sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard of God or His precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is completely opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposed to the sinful nature. These two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition of each other, continually in conflict, so that as believers, we do not do whatever good thing you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. It's talking about consistently being in alignment because the spirit and the soul are in conflict with each other. Number five, it's important to be in alignment because alignment with God brings unparalleled peace. Alignment with God brings unparalleled peace. Does it say that you will not have difficulty? No. No, when we get saved, there is wrong teaching out there that says when you get saved, life is sunshine and butterflies. That is a crock of mess. That is not scriptural. That is not biblical. That's found nowhere. That is contradictory to the gospel that I read. But what it does say is when you surrender to God, when I stay in His presence, there's peace. That means I have to consistently be in close proximity to God. There's still peace. See, it doesn't say that, Sonia, you're not going to go through difficulty. I've walked through difficulty. Many of the staff members have walked through difficulty. You have walked through difficulty, but God says when you stay close to me, I'll let you walk through it in peace. Amen. There's people that are going through hell right now. In the last part of the year, I walked through some very difficult circumstances. Thank you, Jesus, that I understand alignment. I had to consistently submit my will to God's will, and God continued to pour out peace in my life. It was tough. But He continued to pour out peace in my life. So regardless of what you're walking through, God says, stay close to me. Remain in my presence, and I'll let you walk in peace. Amen. regardless of what you're walking through in this life, when you are aligned with God, he'll provide a peace for every circumstance. Philippians 4:7, basically it says, I will give you a peace that does not make sense to the natural mind. Listen, you will be walking through hell, and other people are looking at you like you have lost your mind because you're still able to be calm in the midst of it. That's what it's talking about. I am a living testimony. In a few weeks, I'm going to share some real personal things about what God brought me and my family through that will show you this Christian walk isn't always sunshine and butterflies, but God will still equip us and strengthen us and give us peace to walk through to the next season of our life. And number six, alignment with God produces a fruitful life. A fruitful life brings a fulfilled life. In Galatians 5:22, verse 24, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It says it's the result of God's presence within us. It's love, unselfish concern for others. It's joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Ouch. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Against such things there is no law. And for those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you for clearly showing us what it means to be in spiritual alignment with you. God, that's our heart's desire. Father, I pray that your word is firmly planted in our heart. God, continue to have your way tonight. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonia. Very much appreciated. So, guys and gals, now's the time for our quick 10-minute break. Just a few reminders. Number one, we do have the bathrooms over here, but just remember, we also have the bathrooms when you go past Cafe Aroma, take a hard right. In case these you start getting a line like it's in a sports arena or a rock concert, it's okay. Just go to the other section way back there, okay? Cool? Okay. The other thing, 10 minutes, okay? So we'll start calling out times and everything, but just try to be punctual so we can get back started. And let's hit it. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you all for hanging around. So I'll tell you one thing that makes sure that I'm spiritually aligned with my wife and everything is getting this great figure that I've got. And there's nobody that tonight has contributed more to that than the Keezers. Justin, you want to stand up real quick? The vast majority of the stuff out here is due to that guy right there. So can we give him a big hand to thank him? Thank you very much. So if you think that you just got out of the break and now is your time to kind of pump the brakes, ease off of the gas, and just kind of coast throughout the rest of the evening, sorry, that is not what's going to happen. This is basically, think of this as NASCAR. You just did your pit stop, man. You got your alignment going on. Now you're back on the track, okay? So are you with me? Are y'all ready to press in? Are you ready to press in again? There we go. There we go. Without further ado, a man that needs no introduction, I would like to ask my good friend, Pastor Stephen Courtney. Come on up. Give him a big hand.
Hey, Encounter. What's happening? Y'all doing good? Man, this is so exciting, man. I love walking in. I was telling Taylor that each semester of Encounter is different from each other. But, man, you guys walked in here, and there's just so much life. There's so much energy before everything even kicked off. It was just so exciting to see the excitement on your faces. And it's like you guys are family already after just 1 week. And so God is up to something special. And I just sit back there and think, man, wow, I get to be a part of this. I just get to be a part of what God is doing. I'm so thankful to be at this church and get to be here tonight with you guys. And so I'm proud of you, excited for you. Can I pray for you real quick? Let's do that. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for what you've already done through the powerful teaching that Sonia shared. Thank you for what you already did last week. God, thank you for what you're going to do. And God, I pray over every student in this room right now, God, especially the ones that are still wondering, what am I doing here? Do I really need this right now? Yes, we do. God, for those that are fighting being here right now, God, that are maybe still sitting a little uncomfortable in their chair because, God, you're getting up in their business. God, I pray that you'd keep doing it. Keep pressing in, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we ask that you keep speaking to us tonight as we talk about spiritual alignment, God, because you love us and you want the best for us. God, every person here is on purpose for a purpose. And God, we know that you're not done. You're just getting started. And God, I pray that our hearts would be open. God, open every heart, every mind tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, guys, let me jump right in. Sonia did such a great job. Love hanging out with her. This is my third semester to get to teach with her, and she just did a great job. And now we're going to talk about some more about spiritual alignment. We're going to talk about what does a life out of alignment look like. So let's just jump right in. Number one, a life out of alignment is stuck. Everybody say stuck. Good job. A life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. When we're out of alignment, that's what it looks like. And this word habitual can be described as this: regular, usual, doing constantly or as a habit, right? Before we even know it, guys, when our life is out of alignment and we're not spiritually in alignment with the Lord, things become regular that are not supposed to be regular. Things become usual that aren't supposed to be usual, right? If you listen to the synonyms here, constant, persistent, continual, right? Continuous, perpetual, nonstop, recurrent, repeated, frequent. Man, when we get out of alignment with the Lord, sin, habitual sin, can become constant. It can become recurrent in our life. And that's not how God designed us, right? So number one, a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. You know, Sonia had already read this verse, and it's kind of the bedrock of this teaching tonight, but in Galatians chapter 5, let me read verses 19 through 21 again, and we see this list, okay? This list of the sinful nature that speaks to this habitual sin. Now, the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, right? Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, right? Envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Number two, what does a life out of alignment look like? Number two, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. Have you ever met these individuals, right? Have you ever met them? One of the most sad realities that I have learned through the years of being a pastor and being in ministry is so many times I sit in my office across from a couple or from an individual, and I hear about this statement of, and I realize the reality that hurt people hurt people. It's just the reality. Right? And that's what happens when we're out of alignment. People who are out of alignment, they hurt others because they're hurting on the inside. And it's crazy because we end up hurting some of the most precious, most important people in our lives because we're hurting on the inside. And we just are so out of alignment. People hurt others physically, verbally, emotionally. Then there's that whole emotional manipulation that happens when people are hurting, right? And so that's what happens. People that are hurt begin hurting other people. Number three, a life that's out of alignment, they suffer bad pain, wasted pain. How is this? Why does this happen? Because a life out of spiritual alignment, a life that embraces the practices of the sinful nature that we just read about in Galatians chapter 5, it comes with consequences. It comes with bad pain. It comes with wasted pain. We just read that, didn't we? And these consequences, they come with addiction. They come with broken marriages. They come with busted up relationships. They come with loneliness and bitterness, hurtful cycles that never end because we keep looking in all the wrong directions to fill an emptiness that can only be found in true alignment with our Heavenly Father. Amen? And see, these consequences, they come with scars. Is there forgiveness? Absolutely there is. But to live out of alignment can bring some bad pain and can bring some scars. Wasted pain that if we would have only looked to the Lord for our rescue and used the help that God gives us and the right people that He brings into our lives, the right voices in our lives, then we could have avoided all that bad and wasted pain and the scars that we have. Number four, a life out of alignment looks like this. They speak and they live under curses. I'm not going to go in too much depth with that. In the weeks to come, you're going to hear about what we call generational hand-me-downs, right? And this idea of curses. But people that are out of alignment, spiritual alignment, when you're in alignment with the Lord, there comes such great blessing in our lives, right? Sometimes we fight against that, but man, when we're truly in alignment with God, it just opens the door to great blessing in our life and in our relationships. But those who are out of alignment can speak and live under such incredible curses. You know, what I'd like to do right now is just share kind of a transparent story with you guys, kind of share about my life, a struggle and a time in my life. Just because I'm a pastor, just because I've got pastor in front of my name or reverend in front of my name, does not mean that my life is perfect. I hope you all know that, because it's not true. But there was a time in my life, many of you know the story that I was adopted. And I'm telling this story because I believe I hit a point where all four of these were relevant in my life, unfortunately. I got to a place out of alignment that all four of these things were happening in my life. But I was adopted. It was all planned before I was born and adopted into a great family in Beaumont, Texas, just up the road. And I'm thankful for that. So number one, let me tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I don't regret that. I love my family very, very much. But my family had stuff. Anybody else's family got stuff, right? I think most of our families have some stuff in it. And I was adopted into this family, and my mom that adopted me, my adoptive mom, I love her very much, but she, for years, struggled. You know, when I was a little guy, I didn't notice what was going on, but by the time I got to middle school, high school, I began to really notice that my mom was struggling. She struggled for years with different things. Some things were not her fault, some things that had, you know, horrible things that happened to her that were not her fault, and then some things were just her own choices as she wrestled with things that had happened to her and different things. But as I got into middle school and high school, I began to realize that she was just severely depressed, you know, and that just ruled and reigned her life. She lost many jobs, couldn't hold a job down because of her depression, anxiety, just lots of different issues. She really battled prescription medication, addiction, really, really bad. And as I got older, there were multiple times she tried to take her life. And that emotional manipulation, I remember there were many times my mom would tell me, "Stephen, you're the only thing keeping me alive." You know, a 14-year-old boy doesn't need to hear that. No son needs to hear that. But, you know, "Stephen, you're the only thing that keeps me alive. Everything else is just so horrible, and my life is so horrible." So when you tell that to a 14-year-old boy, it all of a sudden begins to make me think, well, I gotta keep things together, and I gotta keep things straight. And if I don't save her and rescue her, I've failed, right? And so I remember the time she tried to take her life. I remember every time that she tried to take her life. I remember being 17 and my dad and I hanging out, having dinner. And mom was, of course, in the bedroom like many days, many nights, sleeping, not hanging out with us. And my dad went to go take a shower, and then my mom comes down the hallway really upset. And she says, "Your dad needs you right now." And I go back to the bedroom, and my dad is just bawling because he found a suicide note, and she had tried to take her life, and it was a failed attempt. And my dad just, I love my dad. He serves the Lord. He's an incredible guy. But at that moment, he just didn't know how to handle it. And so I stood there as a 17-year-old young man just thinking, well, I've got to be the strong one here. I've got to take care of this situation. I got to fix my mom. I got to rescue my mom. My dad doesn't know how to handle it. I remember other times where my mom one time took a broken vase and ran it from her heel all the way up her leg and called my name. And I ran back there to find my mom bleeding all over the floor. And picked her up, took her to the hospital, had blood all over me, only to find out when she said that something fell off the counter and cut her, I found out that she ran that up her leg because she was in so much internal pain that she just did whatever she could to relieve that pain on the outside. She was just really struggling. And somehow, by the grace of God, I've got to Bible college in 1999 in Missouri. And I remember how hard and difficult that decision was because I thought, if I leave and she takes her life, it's my fault. I thought, if she takes her life, I wasn't there to save her. I wasn't there to rescue her. And actually, it was God bringing my birth mom, Cheryl Silva from California, back into my life when I was 18 years old. And I remember sitting me down in Fresno, California at the mall when I went to visit her, and her looking at me, not even knowing all the details of what my mom in Texas was going through, and looking at me and saying, "Stephen, you're called to the ministry. And you've got to go to Missouri. You've got to go. You know, I know things are rough at home. I don't even know all the details. But if you don't go, you're going to miss out on what God's got for you." So thankful for her. So thankful for her prayers. And I know it was her prayers through the years that helped carry me through all that and still carries me to this day. And it's a beautiful story of all that. And I can tell you that Pam Courtney, my mom, my adoptive mom, is doing much better. And so thankful for what God's doing in her life. She still has her battles, but God's doing so much. And I say all that to say this. When I got to college and I started going through college and I became a perfect pastor who doesn't have any issues, I started to realize I had some real deep issues. I started to realize there was this onion of my life that I had to begin to peel back. And any of you know an onion, you can peel it back and back, and there's layer after layer. And a lot of us, our lives are like that, right? And I began to realize, and God is still working on me, up until just recently, that through all of that, I began to just be gripped by fear. Fear was just an issue for me. And for a long time, I never understood why, but I was just gripped by fear. For years, I struggled with the fear of not being loved, you know, mainly because I had a mom who just wasn't a mom. And it just kind of messed with my head a little bit, and I just didn't feel loved. I knew what the Bible told me. I grew up in church, and I knew that, yeah, God loved me, but there was this struggle internally that, am I really, really loved? And I struggled with that. And because I never felt truly loved, I would hide. I hid, right? Because I couldn't trust anybody. And so I hid, and I would struggle with hidden sin for years. Even specific sins, going back to number one, the habitual sins, that was me. I struggled even going through Bible college, getting into ministry as a young youth pastor. There were things that hidden sin for years I would struggle with, and I would try to fight alone when I really, really knew that I would never defeat that hidden sin without, number one, the Lord's help, but also being vulnerable and transparent with others. You see, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins to the Lord, he's faithful and true to what? To forgive us, right? But I think sometimes we forget in James chapter 5, verse 16, that we are to confess our sins one to another so that we might be what? Healed, right? God does the forgiving. He forgives us, but he's given us people in our lives, and I was hiding from that. That God wanted to use men in my life to be accountable to me, to help me to become free. But I struggled with that for years, and I would not let the most important people in my life in because I was always hiding, because I didn't feel loved, including my beautiful wife, Ellie. That first few years of marriage, I remember just the struggle and her trying to peel back that onion and get inside, right? And because I feared that, it led to a fear of not being enough. I never felt like I was enough. Well, they must just love me because, or must not love me because I'm just not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough for anybody. And I struggled with insecurities for years. And this fear, it just bred insecurity in me, even as a pastor, right? Being real transparent with you guys, is that all right? And I would get defensive because I didn't feel like I was good enough. Defensive with the most important people in my life. I would miss out on so many different things. I would get so tied up in my accomplishments and success that I would wonder if anyone would really love me for who I am than rather for what I did. And let me tell you something, as a minister, that can get real sticky real fast if you're not careful. Because you got people coming to you all the time for care and for counseling and for guidance. And I got wrapped up into this idea that as long as I do that for them, that's the only reason they like me. That's the only reason I'm good enough. If I just fix their problems, or I just tell them the right verse, if I do this, if I do that. And that fear sped into a fear of just failure altogether for years and years and years. I would fear failure, and I would, and because of that, I would worry a lot all the time about everything. And at times, I would not trust God when I really needed to trust God. I wouldn't trust the most important people in my life, the loved ones and family and friends, and I wouldn't take risk and I would play it safe. And God just began to really help me with the help of some other people in my life, begin to peel that onion back and where it kind of started and how to begin to deal with it. And all through that, I began to realize that my life was not in alignment. There was habitual sin in some spots, right? There was exactly what I told you guys. There was, you know, I was hurting on the inside, and I would turn around and hurt some of, you know, some of the most important people in my life. I would suffer bad pain, wasted pain, and have scars from it that I didn't need to have, right? And sometimes I would speak curses over myself, like, I'm never going to be good enough. God, you can't use me. You can't do that through me. You can't do this. You can't do that, right? I was completely out of alignment. After a while, I had to stop listening, though, to the voice of the enemy and begin to trust and embrace the truth that I had to remember what my identity in Christ was, as you guys learned last week. I had to get back into spiritual alignment and realize what God had done for me. And I had to stop living in fear, and I had to accept this truth, a verse that I had read all my life and heard all my life, and a few years back became so loud and so clear, more than it's ever been before. And it's this truth in 1 John 4:18, perfect love cast out all fear. I had to embrace that. That God's perfect love is what was going to cast out all the fear of failure, all the fear of not being good enough, all the fear of not being loved. I had to stop listening to those lies. I am loved. And guys, you here tonight, maybe you have a similar story. I don't know, but you are loved as well. Not because of what you do, not because of who, you know, something you've done. It's because of who you are, because you are sons and daughters of the King. Amen? And you are loved, and you need to hear that tonight. And here's, you know, that's the truth for all of us. The truth is, because I'm loved, I can love. And it just opened this whole new, am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I'm learning to love more like Jesus. I can love like Jesus. I can love, you know, with that perfect, unfailing, unwavering love that Jesus has for me. Because of that, I can begin to love like Jesus wants me to love. And that is more powerful than fear. And so, guys, I just share that with you because I hope that strikes a chord with you that nobody's perfect. We all have stuff, and you're not here by chance. You're here on purpose for a purpose, as I said, as I was praying. And God wants to do something in you. He wants to begin to peel the layers back of that onion and begin to love you and hold you through whatever has brought you here this semester to encounter. All right, let's keep moving forward. So what pulls us out of alignment? What pulls us out of alignment? Let's compare our spiritual alignment that we've been talking about tonight to what Sonia shared earlier a little bit, the alignment in our car, right, in our vehicle. What happens when your car gets out of alignment? As you said earlier, what happens? You can talk to me. It doesn't drive straight. You start having all kinds of problems. Start shaking. You start having lots of issues. I yelled out from the back, it cost me money. That's the biggest thing, right? It cost me money when my vehicle's out of alignment. It becomes difficult to keep the car driving straight. You increase the risk of tire damage, right? How many of you know tires aren't cheap? Just bought a pair of four a couple weeks back. Praise the Lord. Increase the risk of accidents, right, when your car is out of alignment. So when we drive, we have to be cautious. We got to be aware of the potential dangers around us so that we can drive safely and we can avoid severe, costly damage to our vehicle or somebody else's. In the same way, though, right, we must be aware of the potential spiritual dangers that can knock us out of alignment. Several things can damage a vehicle's alignment, and several things can damage our spiritual alignment. So let's compare these two, okay? Here's potential dangers to our alignment. Number one are potholes. Man, potholes. How many of you, when you hit it, it just jars your whole body and when you're driving down the road, and you just immediately think, oh my gosh, my brand new ride, and I just messed it all up. I'm going to have to go to Southern Chrysler and see Megan and Jeremiah and Chris Henson and all these guys and have them fix it up and get it fixed, right? You feel it. It jars your whole vehicle. It jars you. It's an unexpected, come out of nowhere, why don't somebody fix that dadgum thing, pothole in the middle of Lufkin or wherever you live down your road, and it just knocks your vehicle and messes with the alignment. Well, the same thing happens in our life spiritually. There's potholes spiritually in our life. It's unexpected news, right? Maybe it's unexpected news from the doctor that you weren't happy to hear about. It's tragedy. It's a loss of a job, right? It's rejection from an individual or situation. It's betrayal. It's abandonment, even in some cases, by someone that you trusted, someone close to you, someone you loved. But guys, we don't live in a perfect world. And just because we have surrendered our hearts and our lives to Jesus doesn't make this life perfect. And there's going to be spiritual potholes in your life. There's just going to be, right? But Isaiah 41:10 reminds us of this. I love this. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am with you when you run into a pothole. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but that's what we're saying, right? I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, probably my favorite passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You see, guys, we're going to hit potholes. There's going to be potholes that come into our life, but fear not, because he's with us. You can trust him in the middle of those situations. God does not guarantee us a trouble-free life, but he does promise to help and provide for us no matter what happens. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. So thankful for the truth of his word. Number two, potential dangers to our alignment is hitting curbs and running into mediums. How many of you are that driver? It's blatant, it's big old curbs, big old whatever, but you hit them anyway. I remember the very second date I went on with my wife, with Ellie, in Springfield, Missouri. I parked, now this isn't a curb or a medium, but I parked in one of those parking spots with a big old massive concrete bar in front of it, and I'm in a little Honda Civic that's only about this high off the ground, and I'm nervous, and we get back in the car after the restaurant, and I don't go in reverse, I go in forward. Boom! You know, and I thought, I just broke this Honda Civic in half. Like, this thing is not going to make it. And I look over at Ellie, and she's like, second date, and she doesn't know whether to laugh or to, you know, console me, like, pat my back. So she just laughs. She laughed at me. And, of course, I couldn't just keep going straight because I thought I'm going to leave half the car if I keep going straight. So I got to back up. Boom! And I hit it again, and I thought, oh, dear Lord, I just broke this car. And, but man, there's these curbs and these medians, right? And when you're driving, they're obvious. Hello. They're visible boundaries that keep you and others safe. They keep you going in the right direction, and they protect you from running into others and buildings. Lord, we're going to pray for you that raised your hand and said you never see those. But there's spiritual curbs and medians in our life too. And that's like what Pastor likes to say, uphill habits. These healthy habits that we can place in our life that help us. Avoiding too much of the things that could become addictions. Hello. Right? We don't want to hear that, but it's true, right? Setting boundaries, even in entertainment and relationships. Avoiding places or people that tend to bring temptation to sin. I'm telling you right now, guys, God's going to begin to speak to you over some of the weeks. It's not so much about what you need to add for some of you. Some of you are going to have to subtract some stuff. You're going to have to stop watching some stuff. You're going to have to stop talking to certain people. Some of you may even need to end some relationships, and that's tough. But I'm telling you, as I say in starting point, whatever God asks for you to give up will pale in comparison to what he's going to give you in return. It's going to be incredible, so you got to allow him to do that in your life, okay? All right, number three, failure to have a routine, consistent checkup maintenance. Now, this is me. I forget about the old oil change and those kind of things, and then I look up, and I'm almost $5,000 is what it feels like, 5,000 miles over the when I was supposed to get an oil change or whatever it might be. But there's a failure to do these things, and these are things we know we should do, right, with our vehicles, but sometimes we don't take the time to do it, and then we're in trouble. And they are simply to do, but require intentionality, and they require commitment, okay? And so it's the same in our life, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, and in our alignment. There's these spiritual routines and maintenance that we've got to do daily, guys. Daily, every day, daily time with God, right, that we've got to spend with him, spiritual disciplines, attending church regularly, participating in next steps that we offer here at our church. So thankful for a church that is so intentional with that, right? Serving on a dream team, telling others about Jesus. There's this consistency that, right, and this intentionality that will get us so further and will keep us in alignment with God, right? There's something about that consistency. I'm trying to think, Michaela, were you the one that said, consistency compounds? Was that your quote? Everybody give it up for Michaela. What a great quote, right? That's so true. We've talked about that as a staff a couple times this year. Like, consistency compounds over time, right? And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. I think about my two kids, my two oldest, Natalie, who's 14, and my son, Landon. Natalie's a swimmer. She's been swimming for 5 years. And man, 5 years of consistent practice every single day has brought her to a place where she's really getting good. I mean, she's swimming these long-distance swims that all of a sudden she's discovered she's a long-distance swimmer, and now she's putting up times that high schoolers are putting up at regionals. It's insane. But it didn't happen overnight. It's this consistency of two-hour practices every single day, eating mom and dad's out of house and home, all this food, dear Lord. But the consistent practices, the intentionality of the practices and her stroke. You know, my son, he's doing 4-H and he's doing shooting, right? And I was sitting with him this afternoon. He's shooting a 22. And if there was ever a reward for finishing his bullets first, he'd be the winner. He's not accurate, but he's like, it's like a race every time. And he sat down today and I said, do you notice something? And he goes, what? And I said, everybody else is still shooting, and you're just sitting here like, you don't have to go that fast. You got to slow down, right? But he's got to learn to breathe, and he's got to learn to pick the gun up the same way every single time. And there's this idea of consistency and intentionality, right? And it's the same thing in our life, in our relationship with the Lord. And there's this idea of abiding in Jesus, right? If we abide in Jesus and spend extravagant time with Jesus, right, it makes a major, major difference in our life. Here's the question. Are we asking the right question? The question is not, God, where do I fit you in? Don't give God your tired, run-down leftovers. Please. And I'm speaking to myself too, right? We're so busy. We're so tired. But don't give God those wasted leftovers every day. The question is, God, what do I need to sacrifice so that my day revolves around you? You don't revolve around my day. I revolve around you today, right? Every single day, there's this intentionality of staying in alignment and being with Jesus. Small disciplines done consistently lead to big results over time. Craig Rochelle said that, and I love that. Pastor's been using kind of that same thing with our Better series back in January, and it's so, so true. Well, guys, how do we do this? How do we live a life of alignment? Well, number one, we learn to walk in the Spirit. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit, right? Next week's teaching is going to help you learn more about this as we go deeper in encounter. But going back to Galatians chapter 5 that we read earlier, and Sonia read some of it too, in verses 19 through 21, it's a long list of those practices of walking by the sinful nature, right? Walking in the flesh. But now let's go back to it. Let's read it, the other part of it. In verse 22, it begins in verse 22 with this conjunction, but, right? The Apostle Paul shifts gears here with that conjunction, and he shows us what a life in the Spirit, a life that is in alignment, right? What it looks like and how it contrasts with a life that's out of alignment, okay? He uses the example of fruit to describe the Christ-like character that's produced and developed when our lives are in right alignment with God. So let's read it here, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Here we find what a true life of alignment really, really looks like. Amen? And remember, as Sonia mentioned earlier, what you feed will live. What you starve will die. The question is, what are you feeding? And what are you starving? That's where we got to figure this out, right? I had to stop feeding the voice of the enemy for all those years. And I couldn't do that alone. And I still can't do it alone. Pastor or not, it doesn't matter. I need my wife and I need my best friends. I need the good friends that I have here at Timber Creek to remind me that I don't have to be fearful, that I don't have to do this alone, and that God, that I am enough because He's enough. Amen? And you can't do it alone either. So what are you feeding and what are you starving? For example, our relationship with Jesus grows and thrives when we feed it the right spiritual routines and maintenance like we talked about. Because you've got to get in God's Word. Those of you that are battling your mind right now with temptation or whatever it may be, man, get in the Word of God. You know what I learned as a young guy when I was battling those habitual things was I would write down the promises of God on an index card and I would stick it in my pocket and I would be in my pocket all day long. So every time I stuck my hand in my pocket, I would think about that scripture or I'd pull it out and it would help me memorize the scriptures that I needed to win that battle in my head and in my mind, right? You've got to do those things. That sinful habit, that addiction, the negative thoughts and the thinking will begin to lose its power and effectiveness when we starve them. And the only way you're going to starve them is if you begin to give more attention to the Lord and begin to feed your prayer time, begin to feed from the Word of God, right? There's so many things there that we want to help you guys with and we're going to help you guys with. And finally, this spiritual alignment is a process, guys. It's a process, okay? Everybody breathe a minute. What God is doing in your life right now is a process. It's a process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Jesus. It's the process of learning to walk and live like Jesus. You see, there's the promise, and then there's the payoff. Everybody gets excited about the promise, right? You get excited about the promise of a new baby, of a marriage, a new house. I second that. We're not flipping a house, but Miss Sonia helped me sell a house in 2019 and buy a house. Give it up for Miss Sonia. We love you. She can do that. She's awesome. But this new house, there was the promise of a house that we could remodel. Oh, dear Lord. And then there's the payoff that we've not got to yet. Every day, just have my father-in-law here doing construction with me for 4 days, so y'all pray for me. But we keep working on it. There's this promise that it's going to be done one day, and the payoff's going to be amazing, and it's going to be all finished, right? But there's this idea. I know I'm being silly, but at the same time, you're in a process, and that's what's in the middle. There's the promise and there's the payoff, but don't forget about the process that's in the middle. Everyone gets excited about the promise, and everyone gets excited about the payoff, but it's that process in the middle. We forget about it. We overlook it, that process in the middle. Spiritual alignment is that process. Be patient with the process. And guys, it's in the process that some sparks fly. It's in the process that you're tired, right? And you got to link arms with the right people in your life, your table hosts, the people at these tables that are walking through this with you. It's in the process that it hurts a little bit. It's in the process that you've got to say no to some things that you just don't want to give up. It's in the process that some of you need to say, I can't do it. I've tried it for all these years, and I can't kick this by myself. Please help me. For some of you, that's what it is in the process. You've got to be able to be vulnerable. Vulnerable is the birthplace of connection. And you connect with these tables. You connect with this process. And God's going to do something very powerful in your life. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9. Let me share this with you and then we'll be done. The Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act and is not slow about his promise. As some count slowness, but is patient towards you. God is patient towards you during this process, not wishing for any of you to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Don't hate this process. Embrace this process. God loves you. Now, your process may take a few weeks, or somebody else's may take a lot longer. I don't know. But embrace this process and embrace what God's doing in you and through you as he gets you in correct spiritual alignment so that your life is changed forever. Amen? I'm getting my X in the back and then a happy face, so I think that means I'm done. And so I'm going to invite Zane to come back up, and you guys are going to do something at your table. You're going to begin to go through some questions about what we talked about tonight, all right? Sound good? Awesome.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Again, appreciate your teaching on that. It's very relevant even to today. I've heard this now, this will be the fifth time. All right, we'll give about 20 more seconds as you're talking amongst yourselves. Nothing really satisfies like when you speak my name. So tell me that you never leave, and everything will be okay. Okay, team. All right, we're about to wrap this up here in just about 5 minutes. I'm looking at the clock. Want to make sure and respect y'all's time. First question, what did you think about tonight? Was it good? Yeah. Here's the really cool thing. If you're wondering, is this about all that there is here for this? No, it gets better. It gets better. So just keep coming, and we appreciate your time here again. Real quick, some important information we did want to share with you. We talk about this retreat that's coming up and how big it is, how special it is. We wanted to share the dates for that, so please save it in your Google calendars, write it down, make sure and talk to your employer about days off, etc. The dates for that are going to be April the 16th, 17th, and 18th. Okay, so if you're wondering, man, you know, it's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That Thursday, though, it starts at 5 o'clock p.m. So basically, you know, hey, this is going to be over. We'll talk about location stuff and other details, but I would just want to share the dates right now so that way you can go ahead and start planning for it. You know, hey, if you got a wedding coming up or something like that, just cancel that wedding. Don't go to that. You want to come to the counter. Just kidding. We'll work with you on that. It starts at Thursday at 5 p.m. and it would end on that Saturday at lunchtime, okay? One thing that I did want to add too for the whole retreat, talking about room, lodging, meals included, a blast, fun time. It's $165 a person. And I know some of you right now, you're thinking, here we go. It's after my money. Let's see if everybody in this room paid $165. How much money is this church making off of this? Let me see. I mean, they're doing the math in their head, right? It's interesting to know, actually, that's to cover all of that. But if you want to talk about finances, the church actually, from a financial perspective, takes a loss, right? You're not paying for the building, the lights, the childcare, the service, the time of everyone your table hosts, the food out here every single week, right? And it's all because of you guys and gals. For your spiritual journey, your walk, so that you'll never be the same again, right? And I guarantee you, we've done this in class. Gosh, how many times has this been going on, Justin? How many sessions is this? Six. You want to know how many people, after they spent the money to go to the retreat, have come back to us and said, hey, look, man, it wasn't everything cracked up to be. I want my money back. You want to know how many people have done that six times? Zero. Zero. And you don't want to know why? It's because the best money they've ever spent. So, and we'll talk about that later. I can understand you might be a little bit like, you know, but hey, after you hear again some of those testimonies that come up each week and talk about it, I guarantee you, you're going to say, yeah, I'm in it to win it. This is for me. So just kind of, I just want to share that very important information before you go, kind of plant the seed. So that way as we talk about it more and more, you kind of know what's coming up, right? So real quick, let's go ahead and pray, send you guys out, and we'll go from there. Father God, thank you so very much for the time we've been able to share here, God. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of fellowship, and Lord knows we learned a lot of things that we needed to learn. Maybe we relearned it just now, or maybe we learned it for the first time, God. And we choose here and now that we're going to take these nuggets that were given to us about alignment, about how to set our foundation straight, and we're going to apply them. We're not just going to hear them and let them go void in one ear out the other, God. We're going to take it. We're going to apply it to our lives each and every day this week. We're going to ponder them and really consider them and say, this is what I'm going to do in my own life. And God, please help me. Give me the strength to be able to do that. And Lord, give me counselors, people around me to surround me to allow me to do that too, Lord. We thank you for everyone that came here to pray protection. And we pray blessing on each and every one of their lives. And we say it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and one last thing. I got a bunch of, don't forget this thing. So one thing about this, there's a lot of people in here. Guess what? When you got a lot of people in one spot, messes happen, right? So what the church does is come in here and clean up after all y'all's messes, okay? But the thing is the longer we stay here, the longer that people have to stay here to clean up. So one request that we would ask is, if you're going to talk, chat, connect with people, great, awesome, that's fantastic. Do it out there, okay? If you can, please. So anyway, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye.